to Anything Goes podcast, hosted by Josh Bassett and my co-host Tom Cruise. The Anything Goes podcast is a light-hearted look into the day-to-day life behind the scenes of a professional rugby team.
Throughout the season, we'll be bringing on a series of special guests, discussing hot topics, while we'll also be inviting you to get involved along the way by asking questions on social media. And we'll also be adding in some competitions too. So without further ado, let's play darts!
Why darts? Because you're a hooker. Oh mate, switch off the drive here.
Grow up.
Hello and welcome to our very first episode of Anything Goes. Today we've got our first very, very special guest with us. It's our very own Dan Robson.
Yes, Dan's in the building, people. Thank you for travelling so far to get here today.
Pleasure to be here.
Are you nervous, Dobby? You're our first guest, mate.
I'm very nervous.
Good, you should be.
We're obviously very experienced podders, so you know, if you ever need any, you know, words of wisdom, just, you know, tell us to stop recording and we'll go for everything with you.
Mate, we've obviously done some research on you, done our groundwork as experienced podders.
Groundwork? Ground force,
yeah. Shotgun Charlie Dimmock. So down here we've got, this is Wikipedia accurate, so it's obviously factual. Let us know if they are facts or not. Born in Stoke-on-Trent.
True.
We've got some appearances at Gloucester, 80 appearances. This one's the one that stands out to me. Moseley, 6 appearances.
Yeah. Talk us through that.
That was great. Went on loan to Moseley when I was 18.
From?
Eye-opener, from Gloucester.
Billsley Common, I do believe.
Changed in the shed.
It's not for everyone.
It was definitely for me. My old man played for Moseley, so a little bit of family history.
So the Robsons were back in town.
It was me and Johnny May went on loan there, and it was good.
Name drop.
6 weeks. Was that 6 weeks on the bounce, or did you
float in between? And it was all right, to be fair, because at the time Moseley had a massive pack, so playing behind it was like pretty fun, especially for like an 18-year-old.
Was that a champ?
Yeah.
Well, but just 3 experienced champ lads.
Yeah, you know,
chewing the fat,
born and bred in the champ.
Decent. And then so far, 96 Wasps appearances. Is that right? It's not right, is it? It is right.
Sounds right. Yeah.
You're 4 away from the big.
I know.
Triple figures. That's huge. Absolutely huge.
And also, I believe 30 tries. My social media gurus in the background are telling me right now, which is, you know,
good stats.
Great stats.
Very good stats. First official club, Longton Rugby Club.
First official men's club, yeah.
Oh,
so you've absolutely done us.
You told me that was a fact.
No, well, I know that you played for Longton. Yeah. You very rarely do you play for like 200
so my junior
clubs.
Club was Stoke.
And then
Stoke
you judas them and went to Longton.
And you went to the local rivals, Longton.
I did, mate. It didn't go down very well at all.
A Longton are better.
They were at the time in their about own. 2-3 leagues above. So it was a pretty easy decision for me at the time, but it just did not go down well.
I remember playing against Longton when I was at Stockport, and that, correct me if I'm wrong, is right next to the Britannia.
It is. Great. The wind's going the right direction, you can hear every goal.
Yeah. Huge. Are you a Stoke fan?
I am.
Huge.
So not many Stoke goals.
Have you got an old school shirt with the lap on the back?
I actually don't. Elliot got me a shirt signed.
Oh, there we go. Oh, we knew it wasn't going to be long. We took bets. And that was officially, 2 minutes 50, and the name's been dropped.
Chris Kerr's won that one. He had 3 minutes, I think. It was me, Elliot.
It also said on Wikipedia,
Charlie Adam.
That was your first season of men's rugby. It was at Longton Rugby Club, is that correct?
That is correct.
At what? Let's talk us through that decision. Just, you know, did you move there?
I went to Hartbury when I was 16. And then when I turned 17, I basically, when I went home at the weekends, it was kind of just a good experience for me to play a bit of men's rugby. And like I said at the time, they were a couple of leagues above, so it was just a bit of a no-brainer for me just to get some exposure and play men's rugby, which is obviously massively important. Played fullback, a lot of fullback.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
great. Nice. What about were you, like 17?
Yeah, 17.
17?
How was that, 17-year-old?
It was all right, to be fair. Because everyone was pretty sound. I got looked after pretty well.
Any funny initiations for the Longton boys, or ones that you can't say on this PG podcast?
Not really. The usual drinking. You do a couple of drinking ones, kind of pitch side with all the family.
Obviously, when we're 18, you know.
Obviously, when I turned 18, I did it. But yeah, nothing.
Drink responsibly, everyone.
To be fair to Dobby, one of the best straw pedos I've ever seen. Between me and you, I reckon at the club.
No,
and Bass.
Yeah,
do you reckon we're the three quickest at the club?
At the club, probably in the world.
Do you reckon honestly, we could in the world. Challenge any other three? Yeah, so any listeners,
get any listeners who think they can straw pedo
in a boat race straw pedo,
we're willing, and they can then take over the podcast.
Yeah, and I reckon Dobby's taking the home leg, isn't he?
Yeah,
Jackie's the quickest. Size of bottle doesn't matter either.
No, exactly.
Whatever side they want.
Yeah,
that's huge. Jeroboam of
wow.
Yeah,
that's how big is that?
I didn't know what that's one of those important. Was. I didn't know what one of those was until you boys went to Havar and you all talking up these Jeroboams.
I don't know what you're on about.
They don't have them in Stockport, mate.
I think that's where it was.
A Jeroboam of Lambrino.
First discovered.
Yeah. Nice.
So, season done with Longton. First adult season, you know, you've learnt it. You've got nice and gritty. Back to Gloucester. Did you go straight into appearances with Gloucester, or did you? Is that when you went then on to loan to Moseley in that season?
Yeah, so I went on loan to Moseley that season, played a few games here and there, a few A-League games, and then the following year, obviously I did something wrong, because then I went and played for Hartbury in National 2, so I dropped down a couple of leagues, but that was also good fun, because there was quite a few of us Academy boys playing together.
Put hairs on your chest, that will.
It would, and it was good. You know, it's part of playing rugby, I think, like going through those kind of leagues, it does give you some good experience, and yeah, it's definitely put you in good stead.
And then was that alongside, was that the same time England under 20s?
Yeah, 20s.
Where me and Dan first met, set up my first try, yeah.
Quick tap. To be fair, I'm sat here with two internationals.
Well,
I'm the only non-international in the room.
One.
Mate, you got to wear the rose.
Yeah,
don't be like
England,
that this summer.
England 15.
Yeah, too right.
No, it was good.
Man, that's epic. So go on, England in the 20s.
20s for 2 years. Did pretty well in the first year, got to the final. Second year, not so much. We tried hard.
Who was your final in the first year?
New Zealand.
The
Brad Shields, Bowden Barrett. It was pretty
average.
Yeah, they had an average. TJ Perenara, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then second year, a very good South African team winner.
Can I just pause? That's weird. Brad played for New Zealand.
He did, I didn't.
But he's, I've heard him, he's got a Coventry accent now.
Yeah.
So we'll have to bring that. Maybe we can get him on, you know.
Yeah, we'll get
back.
Him on, yeah.
He said he was supporting England in the cricket as
well. Well, there we go, so his true colours.
I bet he's had absolutely no stick about that at all. Later. I bet he's not bored of hearing that at all. Second year, you got how far?
So I went to Hartbury, second year, 20s. And then third year was kind of like my first proper year. With me, Dave Lewis, Jimmy Cowan was our big signer nine, but he wasn't arriving until like six games into the season. So it was kind of like a shootout between us two, and I started, you know, four or five of those games.
Guilty.
Yes. And then Jimmy obviously came and played a little bit as well. So that was kind of my first proper season of playing.
Like a breakthrough year.
Yeah,
for
a little
you.
Breakthrough year. Same again next year, played quite a lot. And then the year after that, we signed Greg and a few other players and kind of got shunted out a little bit. Obviously, world-class goal kicker, and we didn't have the best season either, so we were kind of under the pump a lot. It's pretty hard to take your main kicker off, so I didn't see much action. And then, signed here.
Was that a big decision when, obviously, Greg came to then sign here? Was that a big thing to, like, push you this way? Obviously, like you said, you didn't have the best season, but was it mainly him coming in, or was it where you felt Wasps were at that point, where they were going, where they were progressing, to, you know, bring you here?
Yeah, it was definitely a bit of both. I think, obviously, you know, you always want to be playing, and Greg coming in and kind of halted that for me. And then obviously speaking to Di and speaking to a few other clubs, it was just making a decision on what was best for me, and I felt like Wasps at that time, you know, they'd have those tough couple of years, but the squad that they built and, you know, all the investments and stuff, it was a great place to be. So yeah, it was a tough decision, one I didn't take lightly, but at the end of the day, it's sport, and you've kind of got to be a bit selfish sometimes and do what's best for you.
Before we like move on to Wasps and stuff, is there any absolute legends that took you under their wing when you were coming up through the ranks at Gloucester? Some old school.
Yeah, so I started off with kind of like the Pete Buxton, Andy Hazel,
Gritty,
Alex Brown,
the Gloucester old guard.
It was, and it was kind of like it had changed a little bit as I went, because they all kind of retired my first couple of years. But I remember being a young academy in those games, and they talk about like the Bath Derby and that, and it was just different level. The boys were, from Monday that week, just different. And obviously it moves on when those kind of boys retire. But for me, Henry Trinder kind of was a bit younger at the time. He took me under his wing, and James Simpson Daniel was the main one. I think he was, you know, one of the best players I played with, naturally gifted, but was always massively supportive and always kind of pushed the young lads as much as they can. And yeah, he definitely had a big part in that.
So naturally you look up to those boys because of who they were, and then you try and edge a bit closer to them just to try and pick up any advice that they can give you and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think as a young guy coming through, that's the main thing you got to do. You can't always just kind of separate yourself with your own kind of like young academy guys, and you do kind of get sometimes stuck in a bubble and stay with each other. But it is good to branch out, grab some older guys, talk to them, let them give you some experience and advice, because at the end of the day they're doing it, they're where you want to be. So it's definitely important.
Do you think rugby's missing them kind of characters now that have, you know, been at a club for so long with them historic things that, you know, kind of then put that upon youngsters, whereas you know how professional rugby's getting now, contracts aren't the longest and there is quite a big high turnover of players every time, every year, or every couple, every two, every 3 years. Do you think rugby's missing that part of it, or do you still see that within the game now?
It's definitely not in it as much over the last 5-10 years. You can see it, and it is tough, like you said. There's a big turnover of players, you know, people want results pretty quickly, and it is hard to get that longevity. I know at Gloucester now there's only a couple of boys that I kind of started with that were there. I think Trinder's got his testimonial this year, which, you know, is a massive thing to be at a club for that long. But yeah, it's definitely a rarity now, I think, you see. But we obviously had Lawrence come in and speak to us last year, and I think that is important, to kind of give everyone that talk about the club's history, so it's not just kind of, you know, spoken about but not really. I think to have those people come in every now and again is brilliant.
So fifth season at WASC this year?
Going into my fifth season.
Going into your fifth.
He's a veteran.
A veteran,
starting,
yes,
to look like one as well.
I got that one in early.
Season veteran now. So looking back on your WASC career today, where would you say are some, you know, of your biggest moments through it? From now, obviously, we're going to hope to push on and so forth. But, you know, looking back for the last 4 years, where would you say, like, some of the biggest moments are for you?
Biggest moments, I think, obviously everyone talks about it, but that quarter-final at Exeter in the Heineken Cup, my first year, was something I'll never forget. I forgot a lot of the semi-final after getting knocked out, but the quarter-final was just something unbelievable. To have the Rico as full as it was, and Jimmy obviously nailing that last kick was awesome. To lose a couple of years ago, scoring in the last minute again. But there's so many, it is tough. I think, you know, we've had a lot of turnover of players recently, but the best thing is you play with all these great players and you learn off them and you kind of suck the energy out of them and try and take as much out of it, and hopefully, you know, the lads that have been here the last couple of years, like you guys, we can drive that this year and hopefully be as successful as possible.
And you've got the Premiership 7 winners medal.
Of course,
you know,
of course.
Times two, is it?
Didn't get the nod for the second one.
No, captain of the second one. Got it robbed off me, didn't I?
That is an absolute disgrace.
Absolutely.
Well, you didn't get picked. You weren't picked for the first one.
Unlucky, mate. Yeah, but second one, captain, won it.
Gold medal. Gold. And that's obviously pride of place, is it?
It is, to be fair. Every time you win anything, it is nice. No matter what kind of competition it is, and people say, oh, it's, you know, just the sevens or whatever it is, and you guys put a bit of a stronger side out. But at the end of the day, you enter competitions to win it. And for us, that's what we did at the time, and we did win it, and it was great kind of stepping stone.
I think that was the thing, wasn't it, for us? We felt like we were getting a bit of flack for putting out such a strong team, but we enjoyed every second of it. We didn't go there thinking we're going to win this. We went there and played every game and just enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Am I right in saying that we got to the final one of those years?
So we were in the final 3 years in a row, lost the first one.
First one.
No, the Prem final.
Yes.
Dwarves, one of those years, yeah. Am I right in saying that?
The second? The first one.
Yeah. So you get off to a winning start, don't you, and get yourself into a final, and you can almost becomes a habit, doesn't it?
100%, and I think you saw like the buzz around the place when the boys won it, and you know when you come back into training, it's just nice, like Dan said, to have some silverware, to win something.
It's a confidence builder, isn't it?
And I tell you, it is a heavy trophy.
Yeah, it is.
To have lifted it once and then got the second chance robbed off me by Dan, but you know.
And what do you boys remember about the Prem final? Because that obviously, like Dobby, you talking about your favourite moments at the club. They talk about like obviously quarter final in Europe with Jim slotting that kick in the last minute and stuff. Like the Prem final, obviously I wasn't involved, but that's huge for us to be in a final like that. And that's obviously what we want to build on going into this year. Like what are you two? What do you remember about that?
Pretty mixed emotions really. Like, obviously it was an unbelievable couple of weeks. I think that year we deservedly finished top of the league. We worked hard for that. Played Leicester at home again. That's got to be up there with another game. This man scored.
Yeah, I remember it was a JB.
One of the again pretty full Rico, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. And that kind of whole 2 week build up of going into a final was different. It is different that week of the final. There's media here every day, 20-30 watching training, and it's good. It's good fun. The whole build up to it's good fun. Obviously, the final didn't go the way we wanted it to.
So 50 seconds.
But that's sport. And you know, fair play to Exeter. They've 3-4 finals in a row now. So you'd begrudge getting them to win one. It was just a shame that it was against us.
Yeah, too right. Do you reckon that like obviously losing like that is that just luck of the draw? Do you reckon you can like train resilience? You see how like. You know, we're clinging on at the end. Do you think that's something you can train, or do you think that's just literally luck of the draw, one decision, and it's sport, like you say?
I think especially that year, I think you look at how well we performed throughout the whole season and performed in the last 15, 20 minutes, 10 minutes of games. We were, you know, that was one of our, you know, biggest strengths. And we, you know, like Dan said, it's so hard to take anything away from Exeter, but there was probably bits earlier on in the game where we missed opportunities that allowed them back into the game, and you know they probably done well in the respect of obviously they'd been there the year before and lost. They'd probably learn a few things, you know. For us, we were a young squad. You're going down there, it's your first experience, and you want to absorb it all, but it's a lot to take in, especially as a young team that hasn't been there before. And you know, I can remember my dad saying to me, just, you know, take everything in while you can, but it's so hard on that day when everything is on top of you.
It's emotional, isn't
exactly
it?
And they'd probably been through it once already, so they'd had that experience of, you know, what they needed to do, and it was probably their time to be really honest. And
so you feel like maybe you do have to suffer a defeat in a semi in a final and gain experience before, like you say, it's your time to go on and win one.
Yeah, definitely. So like we said, moving on into your fifth season now, obviously been away with England for a bit, doing some training with them. Then you've come back into pre-season with us here. Obviously a 17-week pre-season. Everyone loves it when a World Cup is. Obviously it's been tough, especially. What's the toughest thing that you've found coming back in to the group?
I think with anything and these long pre-seasons, it's just the amount of running you do. We've obviously kind of had this first block and just said, right, we're gonna do a lot of running and leave the rugby for a little bit, and that is always tough, I think, mentally as well. You know, sometimes you feel like we're here to play rugby, and it's such a long pre-season for those first few weeks when you don't really touch a ball or you don't kind of get into it. You're biting at it and you wanna just get it, and that is always tough. And I think obviously now the last week and two, getting a ball in your hands, all the boys are kind of found a new gear, and yeah, it's been fun.
For me, one thing I've noticed is that everyone's smiling quite a lot, aren't they? Everyone's enjoying each other's company. It's a long pre-season. Those games are so far away that you can almost relax a little bit, can't you? Not in a sense of not work hard. Everyone's grafting. But there's not the pressure of the games at the weekend and stuff. So we can literally just put it all out there on the pitch and not have to worry about feeling fresh on a Thursday and Friday with a game on a Saturday.
Yeah, we're definitely not feeling fresh. Definitely not.
Right, I feel class.
No, definitely, obviously having the new boys in as well, you want to get to know them, spend some time with them, get used to working hard, and this is where you build them relationships that obviously we're going to progress and put more into a rugby frame. as Dan said.
Dov, for you coming back from an England standpoint, has it been difficult for you, like, mentally coming back and training with us, or is it something that you're just, I don't know, it's always in the back of your mind that...
You're going to say used to then, weren't you?
What did I say? Why, how did I word it?
You worded it right, however you did. Well, you must
have
got it.
I've got it. Is it mentally tough to come back into training with us, to always have it in the back of your mind that you could be going away in a World Cup to Japan in however many weeks?
Basically, he's asking, have you learned Japanese?
Yeah. it is and it isn't. I think, obviously, you know, your first emotions are kind of obviously disappointment when you get let go of any squad, and it is disappointing. But like you said, it's such a long pre-season, and for me, you always say it, your club is your bread and butter. That's where you get these recognitions from. And after coming back into the squad this year, there's so many new guys, so many young guys as well, pushing and really kind of raising the standard. It's actually, for me, been a massive excitement to kind of get in there, see how the boys are going, and hopefully help drive that standard as well. So, yeah, it is tough sometimes, but at the end of the day, we'll all be doing similar stuff. You just got to train hard, work hard, and if that opportunity comes, just be ready.
Yeah, definitely. Because obviously, as a mate, we want you to be obviously going to a World Cup, but then you coming back into training with us, you're obviously a big voice for us and a massive leader for us, and you can see the work that you do with the nines, and you talk a lot in when we're getting huddles at the end. So I think obviously your motivation's through the roof at the moment, I suppose.
Yeah, it is, because like I said, your initial thing is disappointment, and the best way to get over that disappointment is to work hard,
get back at it,
and prove people wrong, and just kind of, for me, that the best way to do that is be here at the minute and work as hard as I can and help everyone else out at the same time.
Sweet.
So we've been asking on social media this week for a few questions.
On the gram and on Twitter.
and on Instagram
as well, isn't it?
I thought I said Instagram, that's why you said it to me. I knew I'd got it right. Yeah, we've been asking on social media for a few questions from the fans. So I've got a few here. First one, who takes the longest to prepare for a match? I don't know if they mean...
longest to prepare? Maybe...
Go like on game day, do you reckon?
On game day? Yeah. Yeah, I reckon it's like... Long.
I don't know, like... I know Brad always gets to the change room and showers and kind of starts afresh, which is just, I find, totally weird.
Yeah, I think he's something you learned in New Zealand.
He is so weird, though, isn't he? Weird. Yeah. Don't get a nickname Weird Brad for no reason.
He is weird.
So I think maybe that.
Yeah.
And then obviously... Training wise, obviously your kickers and stuff go out as early as they can and prepare.
Do you know what I've noticed is James Gaskell likes to stay in his normal wasp clothes for as long as possible before he gets changed. See, he leaves it to last minute. You're already out, so you wouldn't even notice.
But he's
always sat there, headphones on, not dancing, doing a little bit of head bobbing.
So people are so different, aren't they, in a changing room before you go out and play?
I don't enjoy being in a changing room. I like to get there, get changed,
soak up the atmosphere,
do whatever, and just get out there.
Yeah,
even if I'm just trotting around, throwing a ball around, I just need to be out there.
There's like people who are like your nervous guys with music in, like sort of prancing around, you know, with that nervous energy. You've got Jammer just sat there reading through his lineouts, calm as ever. You're already out kicking and stuff. Like, the difference is mental. Brad's having a shower. Like, the difference, if people walked in, and just...
Brad's doing something weird in the corner. I'm not sure what.
But it is individual.
He's getting feral with a pre-workout. Yeah.
You don't ever have to think that, oh, someone's gone out already, I need to rush, and I need to get changed and go out. Like, whatever you need to do, whatever level at game day, is just total individually, and you just got to not worry about it.
Just got to go with that, haven't you?
And our second question is, the pre-season drill you dread the most when you're coming back in for your first week back?
I think any sort of testing. I think no matter how you find it, no matter how fit you are, the kind of anxiety and how much everyone builds up testing and what score you got and this and that, it's just always the worst kind of day. You come in and you do a testing day and you're like, thank God that's over.
Yeah, I think I'm as nervous for testing as I was doing my driving test. Which obviously Dan has just recently passed.
Yes!
Yeah, definitely.
How many minors did you get? One minor.
And
how many times did you fail? How many times did you fail?
No, that was first time.
No way.
Genuine.
Oh, mate.
just waited a long time, just, you know, wanting to be really experienced.
I just waited for the right driving instructor. Okay. I was just biding my time.
They obviously done a good job.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Obviously straight into a humble car as well.
Humble.
Very You've good. Got a Fiat Punto, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
That's Ford.
Mate, that's what Benny's got.
Yeah,
to be fair, one of the most humble blokes at the club, aren't he? Benny Harris, he in the Focus.
Yeah.
Hold tight.
Not like Flash Cruise.
Flash Cruise in the GLC.
What was it? A soft top convertible Mercedes into a... No? And Cruise's left the building. To get into... Oh, he's just got out in his Flash motor.
Yeah, it's nice and quick, actually. Yeah. Just put my foot down and get away.
That is true. When you first came, you were wearing Gilberts, Mizunos, whatever you get your hands on, and now you're in
Don't you slag my Mizunos, mate.
No, I'm not slagging them off, I'm just saying. You've gone from very humble to very flashy. I love
mate,
it.
I had a Ford Fiesta when I first came here. And also, the GLC's got to be big enough for the twins, hasn't it?
Yeah. Oi, oi.
Plug.
So, Dan, obviously, most of the Wasp fans know you as your nickname Dobby, but obviously you've played at multiple different clubs. Is there any other nicknames that have stuck with you along the way? Obviously, Dobby... come from Gloucester, did it? And
it
then
did, yeah.
Has come to Wasp. Have any more, you know, come through?
Not really. I used to get called Stretts at college because I had long blonde hair, believe it or not. And it was when David Strettle had long blonde hair, and apparently I look the same.
Say that.
I think you look like a tennis ball at the moment.
Thanks.
What was that?
You're just looking in the mirror at them.
Oh, yeah, good.
Well, that's just 1-0, do
you? The thing is, no one can actually see it. So for people who can't see it, Dan Robson shaved his head. And he looks so, like a tennis ball.
And so has Tom Cruise.
And so have I.
I shaved my head, and then 2 days later, Cruise shaved his head.
You look like so a tennis ball, and I look like a thumb. So we're all good.
If anyone wants to see a great picture, please go on to the Wasp Instagram and look at Tom Cruise in the pool. He's been in a great
place. He's absolutely done me there, hasn't he?
He's done me. Shout out to the media department once again. So Stretts, that's the main one that's
that hasn't really stuck though. The Dobby one I thought I kind of got rid of when I came here, because, plug, Elliot doesn't even call at me, so I was like, oh, sweet. And then I can't even remember how it came, just some boys just obviously picked up on it, and it's
just
but I don't mind, I've embraced it to fully now, I kind of enjoy it.
To be fair, I think most people don't actually call it, I don't think that many people call you it, I think it's... A few people do, but maybe it's just the louder lads that do.
Yeah, maybe.
And the coaches, that's the bad one when the coaches do it.
Yeah, and then you give the coaches a nickname and they lose their answers. Yeah. It's like, come on, mate.
They're like, Dobby, stop making a break here. Dobby, stop doing this. Another big topic each week, we're going to have our guests bring in their favourite sweets for us to eat during the podcast.
You didn't say favourite sweet, this is huge.
Naturally, surely you pick your favourite sweets, or the ones that you fancy. You picked sweets that you don't like.
No, obviously I like them.
We've taken a course, and we have decided we can tell a lot from the sweets that people choose. Yeah. It's like reading the palm of your hand, basically. Okay. So, without further ado, let's see your sweets.
So I've gone a little bit rogue.
Sweets, reveal yourself.
I've gone a little bit rogue. What?
I don't know whether to close my eyes or not.
You can close your eyes. I've gone pretty new.
Interesting.
I'm excited.
I tried these recently and they're different and they're covered in yoghurt so they feel kind of healthy.
In pre-season,
it. Fruit Skittles dips covered in yoghurt.
Wow.
I've never had them, I can't comment yet.
I'm excited.
They're new, so obviously I thought I was trying to bring something new to it.
Like the packaging.
Standard Skittles package.
Good tear, good clean tear, hasn't been picked up on the mic, that's what we like.
Skittles covered in yoghurt and they're actually very good.
Right, should we all taste them at the same time?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what flavour.
Good. Yeah?
Taste the rainbow. Oh.
Oh. <They're ranking. laughs> <They're not violent. laughs>
I think we can take the Skittles dip back. Yeah.
I like them.
On our course, that's what's known as a fatal error.
That is a fail there, hanging.
Oh my god.
Who's dipping Skittles in yoghurt?
Who puts yoghurt on lime?
And you've tried these before?
That's about my first pack of it.
I don't hate them, but they're a 5 out of 10.
Yeah. 5 out of 10. Yeah. That is very, if that, yeah. very generous.
Yeah, but I always go that side, don't I?
I just thought I was going to be a bit different and bring something else. If you had told me to bring my favourite sweet,
your favourite sweet?
No, if you told me to bring my favourite sweet,
I think he's backtracking.
I know.
Skittles dips.
I'm gonna
I would have bought squashies and we would have been done with this.
I'm going to go with appearance. 3 because I don't know what I'm, which flavour I'm getting.
Do you not like that?
Don't like the surprise. Texture, a 2. Flavour, from the aftertaste is good, so I'll give it a steady 4. So, averaging that out, 3.5 out of 10.
It's a poor man's yogurt covered raisin.
Yeah,
it is. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Without the health benefits of the raisin.
But I'll give you extra points because they are yogurt covered and it is pre-season, okay. So we're watching the figure.
Yeah.
Awful.
So now you're up to -2.
Maybe we're wrong.
I think
you're
the
Skittles are right. And we don't like change.
Have you had the Skittles without the shell?
Don't try and come crawling back now, no, Daniel.
You need the texture.
They're awful.
Yeah, you need the
Skittles
texture.
Without the shell, don't go near them.
No.
Oh, so if you thought the yogurt ones were bad, honestly, the shell ones are
Wow, yogurt-covered Skittles. Mm. What a time to be alive. Right then. Every week, we're going to finish with a game of either-or for our very, very special guest. So, without further ado, Dobby, let's get started. Big or small?
Big.
Hair or bald?
Bald.
Black or gold?
Black.
Touch or contact?
Contact.
Beer or lager?
Lager.
Hot or cold?
Hot.
Run or walk?
Run.
Indie or pop?
Pop.
Guitar or piano?
Guitar.
Wet bus or dry bus?
Wet bus.
Water or squash?
Squash.
Fire or ice?
Fire.
Left or right?
Left.
Cruise or Bassett?
Grassett.
Oh, he's sat on the fence! He's sat on the fence.
Hashtag Tosh does it again. He can't separate us.
Fair play. He saw it coming a mile off, didn't he?
He did.
I think he saw me write it down, to be honest.
Actually, genuinely didn't see it.
Did you not?
No.
Fair play, you avoided it. You had cruise on the tip of your tongue as well, didn't you?
No. I don't know.
It's up for debate. We'll watch the tape back.
Almost as good as them yogurt covered. Well, thank you, Dan, for being our first ever guest on any Sting Goes podcast. See what we did there? No, it's been great to have you. Thank you for your insight, letting us, you know, go through your rugby career and ask you a few questions.
Gnaws you off.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing the sweets, or shall I say, you know, not so thanks. For future guests, please improve on the sweet selection. But no, thank you once again. You've been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Thanks for having me.
That's all we have time for today. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, here at WOS,
anything goes.